Hello, I'm Jesse Walls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church. We're a church seeking to make disciple-making disciples of Jesus. Thank you to Life FM for continuing to host us. Today, as we look to God's Word, our reading is John 14, verses 15 to 31, so you can begin looking that up now. This sermon was recorded live at Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church. After reading the passage, we'll hear the children's talk. So, if you have children, make sure they're listening. Then we'll go to the sermon. And so let's hear the reading of John 14, 15 to 31.
John chapter 14, starting at verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live. You also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself in him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home in him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. And this is the word of God.
Now, we have been in the Gospel of John for a few weeks now, and we're going to be there until Easter. Can you remember what John is telling us, what he wants us to do? Yes, Isabel. Excellent, well done. Can you all do that? John wants us to know and believe Jesus is King. Excellent. And we've been looking at Gerald, haven't we? We've been seeing Gerald and hearing some stories from Gerald's life. And Gerald, do you know, this past week, you'd never guess, he was reading John again. You'd never have thought it. And he was reading this passage that Anthony just read for us, John 14, verses 15 to 31, and he read Jesus say, If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And he had a big, long, hard think about that. He thought, if I love Jesus, I'm going to obey Jesus. If John wants me to know and believe that Jesus is king, then I need to live with Jesus as my king and I need to obey him. So he wondered how he could do that. And then later on that day, he was at the playground. He was at the playground and he was having fun and he saw the big slide and he thought, I'm going to run over to the slide and I am going to go down that thing over and over and over again. And as he was just about to run over, he saw another kid on the swing and he sort of was going really high and he sort of jumped off the swing, but he sort of landed badly and he hurt his leg. Oh. And Gerald saw that and thought, oh, gee, I really want to go over to the slide. That's where I want to have fun. But, just trying to think. Jesus wants me to obey. He wants me to keep his commandments. How do you think Gerald could keep Jesus' commandments when he saw that other boy fall off the slide? Do we have any idea? Off the swing. Yes, you're right. Sorry. You know the story better than I do. Go help the boy. Decide that he's going to not have his fun right now, but he's going to show love to someone else. He's going to care for this other boy and see if he's okay. Take him to his mum or his dad or whoever's there looking after him if he really needs it. He's going to put aside his own fun for the moment to take care of someone else. That's exactly right. He was going to show love. Now, he was at home later on that day, and he saw that his sister really wanted to watch her movie. It was a Barbie movie, and he's not a huge fan of Barbie movies. A bit too much Barbie for him. But he knew that his sister would get really upset if she didn't get her way. He also knew that he had had his choice of TV the previous day. And so he thought long and hard, how can I keep Jesus' commandments? How can I love Jesus and obey him? What should I do now? Can you think? Can you think of what he should do? Yeah, put her show on. Decide that he's going to not fight for his own thing that he wants. He's going to love someone else, put their wants, their desires above himself. You know, that can be hard sometimes. It can be hard to think about other people and love them instead of doing the things that we want to do. But if we're going to know and believe that Jesus is king, then we need to obey Jesus. And one of the big things that Jesus has said for us to do is to love other people, to love our neighbor as ourself, to love our brother as ourself, to love our sister as ourself, to love our parents as ourself, to love other people as ourselves. Okay. So why don't we pray and ask God that he would help us to love other people because we love Jesus. Okay. Let's say a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus, that he showed great love to us, that he loved us by coming and by going to the cross for us to save us. So we thank you that we can show our love for him. Help us to obey him, to keep his commandments, to love other people, to believe in him. Help us to do what he wants us to do. We thank you that Jesus has made us part of your family. And so help us to live as part of your family. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's come and let's pray to our God as we think more on his word. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for these words of Jesus. And we pray now that your Spirit would take these words and plant them deep in our hearts. Lord, we ask that we would know how we should live in response to what Jesus has said. May we live lives that are fruitful, live lives that honour you, live lives that are for you rather than for ourselves. So, Lord, convict us of sin and encourage us with your grace, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Valentine's Day was this week. For some people, this day passes by barely noticed, but for others, it's a big deal. Beck and I, we don't make much of Valentine's Day, but there are plenty of couples who make sure that they do something special on Valentine's Day. It might be a special date night. It might involve a babysitter going out to a nice meal at a restaurant. It might mean gifts. Some couples love to express their love on Valentine's Day. Others are content to just let the day pass them by, or to have a simple date at home with a special dinner and a movie. The shops have been advertising what they think love looks like. It looks like flowers and chocolates and jewellery. Tools and brandy for the guys, apparently. Love looks different for each kind of relationship. Husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, brother, sister, friends, parent, child. And in this passage, Jesus tells us what it means to love him. He tells us to love the Lord who has blessed you. As we look at Jesus' words, we'll start by thinking about how Jesus expects his disciples to show their love for him, their master. How we're to love Jesus is spread throughout these verses. But Jesus isn't a master who only places demands on his people to love him. See, he loves his disciples too. And so we'll trace our way through his words and touch on the four blessings that he mentions. As Jesus prepares his disciples for his departure, he tells them, love the Lord who has blessed you. So let's look at our first heading. True love. Remember, Jesus has announced that he's going away. He's going to the cross. So how are the disciples to respond? They've been told in the last few verses that they'll do works greater than Jesus, meaning that they're going to bring the gospel to the world. Jesus brought it to Israel and just part of Israel, but they're going to bring it to the world and see more people transformed by this gospel than he did. But they're not to do this chasing glory. No, instead, as you look through their lives, pain actually marked their lives. And they're not to do this merely out of duty, dragging their feet to the next town. They are to be motivated by love. This idea that true love for Jesus equals obedience is right there in the first verse, verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And then verse 21, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. Verse 23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. In John's gospel, the command which comes through time and again is that we believe. We believe his words about the Father, about himself, eternal life, and sin. See, he is the bread of life, he says. The light of the world, the gate, the good shepherd, the great I am. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is one with the Father. We are to know and believe Jesus is King. And there's more. As Jesus spoke at the Sermon on the Mount, he was full of instructions about anger and lust and keeping your word. He says that we are to be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect. But we always need to be careful when it comes to how we live as Christians. The question always comes down to why. Why am I obeying Jesus? Why am I striving to love others, to serve and sacrifice and take up my cross? Why do we do this? We always want. We're always, our hearts are bent towards putting the cart before the horse. When our hearts are in neutral, we roll down the hill of legalism. We keep drifting into the belief that if we do good, that's why God will accept us. That's why God will love us. But Jesus makes it clear in John's gospel that we can't get to God ourselves. We were already condemned, Jesus has said, guilty for sin, destined for hell, and for us guilty, condemned sinners, the Father sent His Son so that He would go to the cross. God loved us when we were slaves to sin. Jesus died for us, and for us who believe, we express our grateful love to Him in loving obedience. Not to earn what we have, but as a natural response, or maybe it should be better, a supernatural response to our salvation. Jesus calls His disciples to love Him as He prepares to leave them. But you see, this isn't a one-sided relationship. We're told to love the Lord who blesses you. Not we're to love the Lord who despises you, who thinks nothing of you. He says, love the Lord who has blessed you. And so in verses 16 to 17, we see blessing one, another helper, the Spirit of Truth. You see, Jesus is leaving. He'll die on the cross. He'll rise again and be with them for another 40 days after that. And then His body will ascend into heaven. And they won't see Him. But the Spirit will be sent. Both the Father and the Son send the Spirit. And different verses throughout this conversation that Jesus has with His followers in John 14 to 16, different verses will emphasize whether the Son sends the Spirit or the Father does. Here it's the Father. But look at who this Spirit is. He's another helper. That word another says that we already have a helper, and the Spirit will be like Him. See, Jesus is that helper. But what kind of help does He offer? Well, it's not the kind of help that a friend gives when you're planning a wedding. He's not going to send another helper to help you cram for a test. That word helper is the Greek word paraclete. And there are various ways in our English Bibles that that has been translated, but it has a legal connotation. Over in 1 John chapter 2, Jesus is called our paraclete. He's our advocate, the ESV has, our advocate before the Father when we sin. He is our defense attorney. Now, I love a good courtroom drama. And obviously, you can't go past a few good men. Jack Nicholson's line, "You can't handle the truth," that is worth the time watching the movie. I love it. That's the perfect scene. But in that movie, while the defendants get off on most charges, they are still found guilty of conduct unbecoming of a Marine, of someone in the Marines, and they're dishonorably discharged. But you see, Jesus, our paraclete, our helper, our defense attorney, He is better, would you believe, than Tom Cruise. No charge sticks when He defends us. And the Spirit is another paraclete. He's like Jesus. He's helping us. He's defending us. He is the Spirit of Truth. And while the world can't receive Him because it can't handle the truth, He declares the truth to our troubled hearts. One of the blessings our Lord gives us is the Spirit who helps us when we're feeling shame. He reminds us of the verdict. We are justified, declared righteous because Jesus has died for us. Our case has already been argued by Jesus. The sentence has already been experienced by him, and we have received his innocence and his reward. Love the Lord who has blessed you with another helper, the Spirit of Truth. Which brings us to blessing 2 in verses 18 to 24. Not only do we have another helper, but we have intimate relationship. See, this is what the disciples thought they were losing. But verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Jesus isn't abandoning them. First, he'll come to them when he rises from the dead. See verse 19, yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. You see, after the resurrection, we're not ever told that Jesus ever showed himself to the unbelieving world. But at his resurrection, when Jesus lives, he says, they will live. They'll have true spiritual life, eternal life, because they will have the Spirit, because they'll have seen Jesus alive, and they will believe, they will know him for who he is. The Spirit not only communicates our innocence before God, but he communicates God's presence. Not that the hairs on our arms are constantly standing up because we can feel God's presence. Maybe sometimes that will happen, but that's not all the time. But we can know that Jesus and the Father are with us, that they love us. Verse 20, in that day you will know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. Verse 21, he who loves me will be loved by my Father and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Verse 23, we will come and make our home with him. See, Jesus is physically in heaven, but his Spirit is with us, dwelling in us. And again, not because we've earned it. It's not that first we loved God and then as a reward he makes his home with us. No, God loved us first. But all these things come together. God loves us first, and as we turn to him in love, he makes his home in us. See, there are times where you may feel absolutely alone, abandoned by God, abandoned by family, by friends. You might have a Job-like experience. Your world turns upside down and you're filled with confusion. But even when your feelings are telling you that you're alone, you can know differently. You can chase after the feeling of God's presence and his love because you know it with your mind, because he has promised it. You can know and believe that Jesus, the King, is with you and he loves you. Strive to base your feelings on what you know instead of letting your feelings take away your assurance. Love the Lord who blesses you with intimate relationship. Remember, we're to love Jesus by obeying him. He's the King who has given his life for us. He's purchased forgiveness, eternal life, joy, hope. We were helpless and he came for us. Of course we should love and obey him. He is God the Son, the creator of heaven and earth, and he has shown us incredible love, pouring out his blessings. He's given us another helper, the Spirit of Truth. He's blessed us with intimate relationship. And in verses 25 to 26, we see blessing 3, the Spirit's teaching. Look at those verses. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. Now, Jesus won't be with them physically forever. They won't have the chance to ask him questions about what he said back then. He won't be able to jog their memories, but the Spirit will come. And one of the Spirit's roles is to remind them, to remind us of what Jesus said. He will teach them all things. Not that he'll teach them algebra or carpentry. This isn't a promise to a VCE or a uni student that when they're stumped by a question on the exam, that the Holy Spirit will download the information they need and they won't need to study. I can remember a few times when I was desperately praying in an exam, begging God to give me some information which I needed. I can't think of a time where that actually worked. But the Spirit will remind us of what Jesus has taught. See, we only have the New Testament because Jesus blessed his disciples with his Spirit, and the Spirit taught them, reminded them of all the things Jesus had taught. That's the Spirit's greatest desire, that we know Jesus more deeply, that we remember his words and believe them. Now, some Christians, they only seem to associate the Spirit's work with feelings and with miracles. But the Spirit is intimately involved in our hearts as we study his word. See, these words, written by the apostles, were inspired by the Spirit. There is no more spiritual task than studying the words of the Spirit. He won't download this knowledge into our minds, but he will remind us of them. He'll help you understand them as you work at it. What a blessing to have the Spirit teach us the words of Christ. We're to know and believe Jesus is King. That's the entire point of John's Gospel. And here we see how we should respond to this King. To love the Lord who has blessed you. Love him by obeying him and enjoying the blessings that he has poured out in love. He sent another helper, the Spirit of truth. We have an intimate relationship with Jesus, and we're to enjoy the Spirit's teaching and reminding of his words. And now in verses 27 to 31, we see blessing 4, true peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Jesus has already encouraged them to not let their hearts be troubled. Yes, Jesus is going away, but he says that's a good thing. See, they're concerned about themselves, but it's by him going that they will experience the peace that we all long for. See, we know that there is something wrong with the world. It's not as it should be. World leaders act selfishly, not caring about who they hurt so long as their agenda succeeds. Families are torn apart. People are confused about their identity. And we know as well that the problem isn't just out there with other people, but it's in our own hearts. We're not who we want to be. We're often not patient, we're often not kind, and we feel turmoil in our hearts when we finally work out that we can't ignore that reality. We can't ignore that we're not perfect, and we start to feel turmoil about that. But Jesus brings peace. By his death, we who believe are forgiven. We were at war with God, but now we have peace with him. Assurance that we will be welcomed into heaven, not because of our goodness, but because of Jesus' goodness. And because of this, the disciples should have rejoiced that Jesus was going to the Father. If they loved Jesus, then they would have been happy for him. He says that the Father is greater than him, not because that Jesus is saying that he's not God or that he's less God. He's saying this from his human nature. He is genuinely human, and as a human, as the Christ, the Father is greater than him. The Father dictates everything. But we know that Jesus is also one with the Father. He is God. The devil may be coming for Jesus, verse 30, but the disciples can have peace because he has no claim over Jesus. Jesus never sinned. He's the spotless lamb and he's following the commands of the Father because he loves the Father. In this moment of turmoil, in this moment of turmoil and for the rest of their lives, they can know peace. It's a jam-packed passage, full of blessings to rejoice in. This is the love Jesus has shown to us. He has blessed us in so many ways and more than is even mentioned here. So how are we to respond? Well, we're to love him. Love the Lord who has blessed you, and to love Jesus is to obey him. Do you love Jesus? Have you obeyed the very first command that he gives, which is to believe in him? Have you thrown off all self-reliance? Have you abandoned any hope that you can earn your way to heaven, that you can be good enough for the God who demands perfection? If you want these blessings, that's the step you need to take. Throw yourself at his feet, because only he can save you. Only he can give eternal life and forgiveness and hope. And he will, if you believe. And if you're thinking about that and maybe even coming to the conclusion that you haven't done that yet, but you would like to, whether you've been here for 50 years or 1 month, if you're thinking about that, we'd love to help you. Please chat with me after the service. But when you believe, what does the life of love look like? Here are some quick suggestions. Loving Jesus means loving his church. Jesus died for his church. He's gathered us to be a family. The church isn't an optional extra. It's a family Jesus wants us to commit to serve, to love. And we're to show that love by signing up, becoming members, praying for our church family, joining together to study the Word, giving, serving. How can you better show your love for the church, which is Jesus' bride, like we've been told to? Loving Jesus means clinging to truth, as his Spirit reminds us. Clinging to what his Word says about morality. We hold on to the Bible's view of gender, that gender is determined by our biology. Where there's confusion, we strive to conform the mind to our body rather than mutilate the body. We love those who suffer with this confusion, and so we want to speak the truth to them in a kind way, but we speak the truth of God's Word. We hold on to the truth of marriage as between one man and one woman for life. Hold on to the truth that abortion is murder, that God will come to judge, that Jesus is the only way to heaven, that hell is real. We hold to these and we proclaim them with love, even though the world hates them, even though we might suffer for them. We may lose friendships and family. We may lose respect. In some instances, we may even go to jail. Of course, we don't try to be obnoxious about it. We don't shove God's Word down their throats. We may be quiet in a particular conversation because we've already told them what we believe. But sometimes we will risk the relationship because we love Jesus more. And it might just mean a sentence, but it's always with love and respect. Love for Jesus will mean that we strive for godliness, that we speak to others and we speak about others with respect. We treat others well on social media and in person and in our own minds. Every day we have opportunities to show our love for Jesus, our Lord who has blessed us. Jesus doesn't ask for flowers or chocolates. He doesn't ask for tools or brandy. If we love the Lord who has blessed us, we are to obey him. And he deserves it. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you have shown us your great love. You have cared for us. You sent your Son to die for us, to save us. May we live our lives in obedience to you. May we show our great love for you in the way that we live, in the words that we say, in the way that we treat your church and treat others who are made in your image. Lord, may we love you by obeying you as we remember that you have saved us and you have blessed us mightily. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm Jesse Walls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church, and I pray you've been blessed as you've spent this time in God's Word. Next week, we'd love to have you join us in person for our service at 10 a.m. I hope to see you there. And as always, if you'd like to make a comment on what you've heard today, you have a question, or you're looking for a church, then please get in contact with us. Our website is eaglehawkpc.org.au. You can also contact us through Facebook or Instagram. God bless you.